One verse here. One verse here. This morning we'll get into the message. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5. It says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee," speaking to Timothy, "which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am also persuaded that is in thee also." Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I love you. I thank you for your word. Lord, I ask your blessing upon the service today. Lord, I pray you'd be a help and an encouragement to our mothers, to our parents, Lord, in all of our lives. Certainly what we need here needs to be true in all of us, whether we're a teenager, whether we're single, whether we're a mom, the attributes we're looking at are going to be so important. But Lord, I do pray it'd be a special blessing and a help to our moms today. I pray that you bless them in this unique time frame as we come together, Lord. Please, I pray it'd be help. All of those, of course, still live streaming from home, I pray that you minimize those distractions, help them to concentrate on your word. I pray it'd be a help and a strength to our families, Lord. I love you, and I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Mother's Day is actually, for many churches, it hasn't quite been true for us. It's usually our second or third most well-attended service of the year. For many churches, it is the highest attended service of the year is actually Mother's Day. For us, it is our Christmas service. Ever since we switched the play to the closest service to Christmas, that by far has become our highest attended service. And then usually it's close right between Mother's Day and our Easter service as to which one comes in second for attendance for us. And usually that's going to be the Easter one, because a lot of times we'll be launching close to revival time and it's getting warmer and things like that. But it's a very highly attended service. And it's usually is a special day. I doubt there's a person that would disagree. It's much more special than even Father's Day. Father's Day was just an afterthought. You know, well, we got to have it. If we have a Mother's Day, let's throw in one for fathers. Because we all recognize the sacrifice that mothers put in. As parents and especially mothers, there's certainly things that we want to teach and that we want to give our children. For instance, we want to give them a really good education. And usually we start very, very early with our children when it comes to teaching them. We start them counting almost as soon as they can talk. You know, we want to hear them counting 1, 2, 3, 7, 10. And then we celebrate with them. You know, it doesn't matter if they skip the numbers, we celebrate. Now, in my house, you got beat. If you did not get 1 to 10 right, yeah, we spank for that stuff. I'm just kidding. We did not do that. But we start them with colors and counting and the alphabet. And basically, almost as soon as they can talk, we're doing those things. Why? We want to give them a good education. We want to teach them. We want to be part. And with a mother, you don't have to, I don't have to tell a mother to do that. That's almost, it's there. It's God-given. You start teaching your children immediately. And many of our moms, of course, in here homeschool, and whether you homeschool or not, or have them in Christian school, or whatever the case might be with that, I mean, all of those mothers and parents desire to get their child a decent education so they have an ability to succeed in this current world. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's not about making their desire to be able to succeed. They're going to be dealing with that in this world. But we need to give them the ability to provide in this world. And mothers are a key to that. It's very important to put your children in a place where they can provide for themselves in this world, and education is certainly a part of that. Mothers are to be commended for all the work that they do and teaching their children and rearing them all those years and years of going through that. There's just so much that moms do for their children. It really is amazing. They teach their kids daily life skills. It's usually the most influential person in their life. What they're going to learn from is going to be mom, not dad. From different things where they're just getting started to how to go to the bathroom. Now, we do have currently, that's going to change here soon, the ugliest mom is in our church. It's my son, Daniel. He is the world's ugliest mom right now. I know he's live streaming. Now, he's not going to be mom to those kids, but just a couple more weeks when he gets married. But right now, he is the world's ugliest mom to his children. We would have gave you an award if you were here today. I thought you would show up. All the mothers were welcome to come, but you did not show up. But anyhow, from when they're really on teaching them how to go to the bathroom, and I tried to avoid that process as much as possible when I was a dad, but from teaching them things, really, how to go to the bathroom, how to walk, how to talk, how to deal with each other, with siblings and relationships. It's usually man that's key in that building. How to demonstrate love, how to demonstrate patience, how to share. All those things, as they're growing up, are primarily coming from man. All these things are needed and good. They need to be taught. Those need to be in place in a home. But there's certainly one thing that is far better than anything that I have listed. Far better. All those other things are not to be neglected. But this right here is far more important than any of those. And that is being able to teach your children how to have unfeigned faith. This will be key to their spiritual life and growth. In our text, we're dealing with a man named Timothy. This is a man the Apostle Paul was a close friend with, a man that he depended upon for work and ministry more than any other man, as we're going to see. And you think of the context here in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Don't forget when the Lord is having Paul pin these words in. Paul is ready to die. He's going to be executed. He's thinking back on his life, and he's writing to Timothy. This is the very first thing that comes to remembrance about his life, his unfeigned faith. And this, when looking at it in context of verse 5, Timothy is a man that Paul attributed this character trait of him in his walk with God to his mother, as well as his grandmother. Let's think about Timothy just for a second before I get into this. Timothy was Paul's crown of rejoicing. Paul, again, to me, is the greatest Christian who ever lived. What the man managed to do. He wasn't in it for show. He wasn't in it about himself, what he was willing to endure. It's just so incredibly impressive how this man walked with God. We just don't see it a lot today. So many people walk with God with not a sincere faith, where it's about others. It's about the show. It's about the demonstration. And I think social media has magnified that to an nth degree. But Paul was impressive. And so Paul, who I believe to be one of the greatest Christians who ever lived, is dealing here how he viewed Timothy in his walk with God. Timothy was a native of Lystra, Lyconia. The first time Paul went there was on his very first missionary journey. You go back to Acts chapter 14. There was the miracle there, the healing of the cripple. It was incredible what took place there. So it's very likely, especially timing as we go through the book of Acts and trying to nail down this, that it was during that first missionary journey that Lois, Eunice, and Timothy came across the Apostle Paul. It's likely at that time, that is when they put their faith in Christ, would have been during that time. We know that Jews and Gentiles were both converted in that city when Paul was there on his first missionary journey. So the Lord used the proclamation of the gospel through Paul, and all likely to bring Timothy to Christ. Later on, or in Scripture, Paul does refer to Timothy as his son in the Lord. Timothy had a unique upbringing. He had a Greek father and a Jewish mother. That would have given him challenges in life that he would have had to have deal with. But no doubt, God is going to use those challenges to mold him and make him. And because of his upbringing, I want you to think about this. This guy is the perfect man to be working with the Apostle Paul because of his knowledge of both cultures. Now, what we see in Scripture about Timothy in between the first and second missionary journey, all right? Timothy had won the admiration, the respect of the Christians where he lived in Lystra, we know, in Iconium, which was a larger town close to him. And during Paul's second missionary journey, we know they met now. Timothy, even though a young man, his faith and his walk were being recognized by multitudes who watched him serve God. And so Paul, now in the second missionary journey, goes and meets him. It's the first time we have where we know they met. More than likely with the crowds there, they might have had a brief acquaintance on the first missionary journey, which led to his conversion, but now Paul is meeting Timothy. He's growing in the faith. Again, Keep this in mind. Because of his upbringing, he was perfect to work with Paul. He knew both the Gentile and the Jewish cultures very well. So he ends up becoming, after the second missionary journey, a co-worker with the Apostle Paul. But not only that, one of his closest, if not his closest friend. When he writes 1 Timothy here, Timothy at the time is still a young pastor at a major church in Ephesus. Timothy's name, think about this, appears as the co-author on 2 Corinthians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and Philemon. When Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said this about Timothy, basically, I have no other like him. There's nobody else I have like Timothy. When Paul was in prison here in 2 Timothy, awaiting to be martyred, he had asked for his dear friend Timothy for a last farewell. During the later years before this was taking place in Paul, he was basically Paul's representative. He became Paul's troubleshooter. When he had trouble at Ephesus, that's when he sent Timothy. Guess who he sent to Corinth? Timothy. He was Paul's troubleshooter. He was faithful. Paul knew he could depend upon him in difficult situations. Timothy had an unfeigned faith. Timothy was a faithful servant used of God in a great way. You think he was very highly thought of by the man I believe to be the greatest Christian who ever lived, the Apostle Paul. His death. Now his death is, this is by tradition, it's recorded in a book that's written around 400 AD. So we don't know if it was passed on. Obviously, if it's 300-400 years after his death, it's not reliable. But the question is, was it coming down from other sources that have been passed down? We're just not sure of. But the details are fairly specific as to how Timothy died. That he had died in the year 97 AD. He was protesting the idolatry that was taking place in his town for the goddess Diana. He was elderly at the time, and a mob surrounded him and stoned him to death right there while he was protesting their idolatry. So now, that's the man we're dealing with, is Timothy. Now, let's go back to our text. Paul is, again, he's thinking about Timothy, how faithful he has been to him, as Paul is remembering his life, his ministry, and Timothy being a key player in that. And Paul, right off the bat here, as soon as he starts describing Timothy, it's the very first trait he gives about him. Unfeigned faith. And in the text, this was given to Timothy by his mother. By his mom. Who received it from her mother. The grandmother. We also see something else that we're going to look at here. Two things she did that were crucial and play a key role in Timothy's life from the time he was an infant on. We're also going to see in our text how she taught him the Word of God. Listen, as true mothers, if there's two things to give your children, it is to show them and demonstrate unfeigned faith and to teach them God's Word. We're going to see today how they go together. So often I will get asked, what is the key to having your kids turn out right? We're dealing with it. Unfeigned faith mixed with the Word of God. That is the key. So let's look at these two. First off, the unfeigned faith that we see here in verse number 5. The word unfeigned means without hypocrisy, sincere. True. It's something that's real. This was something that Timothy saw lived out in the life of his mother as well as his grandmother. They lived their faith without hypocrisy. They lived it in a sincerity. It was real. It was true. It was solid. It wasn't a game to them. If you want to help your children, moms, walk with God. Don't play a game with it. Live a genuine, sincere faith before your children. It's living the Bible. So Eunice, Timothy's mother, was real in her faith. She was not a hypocrite. Again, do your children see you one way at church and another way at home? You have to be real. Keep in mind, her life, Eunice's life would not have been easy. Her husband is not converted. He's not Jewish. He's a Greek. Her life would not have been easy. Listen, what our children really need to see is genuine and real faith. And with that comes a faith that has consistency. It doesn't mean you're perfect. Please don't let the devil come in and say you're never. It's not dealing with perfection. It's dealing with a real faith and not playing a game with it. Where it's not, where there's a consistency about your walk with God. It's not just up and down and up and down. When the winds of revival are blowing, you're doing great. But when not, you know, everything just, you know, goes out the window. You want to demonstrate before your children a real faith. A real faith has no other gods before God. There's not idolatry in the home taking place. There's not something else that has the place of God in your life. Which we can have so many things that go before that. So many things. Listen, your children will recognize as they grow older what comes before God. They're going to see that. They need to see parents, a mother, who loves God. Think about this. There's two things here I want to touch with. When the best time to genuinate it, to demonstrate before your children an unfeigned faith. One is during difficult times. During trials, during storms. During those tough days. That is when unfeigned faith can be so clearly demonstrated before your children. You know, you can see true faith. We can look at it, for instance, when David fought with Goliath. Everyone saw his faith, that it was real. There was no doubt. What allowed that to occur? Just by David speaking the words, look, I have faith, you need to love God, I love God? Not at all. It was what he did when he was facing Goliath. That allowed everyone to see, wow, that's faith. Everyone there that witnessed the battle understood David actually believed for Goliath to win, Goliath would have to defeat God. That's incredible faith. Incredible. They all watched him take him on without a sword, with stones in his hand. What they saw in the midst of a trial that nobody wanted to face was they saw genuine faith. Do you know what that faith did? It influenced multitudes. Thousands. Mothers, your faith influences your children. We can think of it when there's different examples. The different storms. Peter getting out of the boat and the influence that would have had on others. But even though he sank, Peter got out of the boat. The guy walked on water. Incredible. So, point is, when trials hit the home or when struggles come up, it's a great time for your children to see real faith. To see how mom and dad respond. What do they go to? Because it's easy to show unfeigned faith when everything's going perfect. It's easy. It's when faith is actually required. That's when it comes out. If it's present or not. When trials hit home. I remember when again, we had started debutation 1 week out. That Wednesday, I just preached the Friday and Saturday, and we had just left Alaska. On a Thursday morning, I was preaching Friday night and Saturday night in Haines. After Saturday night service, I had to get on the road because I was preaching in Whitehorse on Sunday. And then Wednesday in one of the provinces in Canada, Winnipeg. I was in Winnipeg. That's right. I was in Winnipeg. And so that Wednesday we're there, and that's when Daniel had cut his thumb off. And when I pulled in, you know the story, I pulled into the hospital, I dropped Marion and Daniel off. We were about 2 hours from the hospital, I think it was the closest one, as we were traveling to the meeting. And we drop them off, we just had a rag on it holding his thumb there, where he had just sliced it right through the joint capsule. And I go to pull in a parking lot, I bump the ticket thing with my 29-foot motorhome. It just felt like a little tap, little did I know, it ripped open the seam of my motorhome on the back end. So when I got out and I parked the motorhome back, I went to go see if, I expected to see maybe a tiny dent. Really, that was it. I get back there and I see the motorhome is literally ripped open. I could not, but I could almost get in my motorhome. It was so big. It was open about that wide. If you think where the back of the motorhome and the one side of the motorhome, that seam right there tore open. And I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. And I got tons of meetings coming up, and I know we're not going, and this is our home. This is everything. This is our home for the next, till deputation is done. This is our vehicle. We're not towing a car. When we have to go to the store for milk, this is what we go to the store to get milk in. And I leaned back and was just feeling sick. I wasn't feeling spiritual at all. I was angry. I was mad. I didn't understand why the Lord was doing this. But then Heather comes around the corner. She's just little. She's 8 or 9 years old. And she looks up at me and she said, "What's wrong, Dad?" And I knew. I got to hold it together right now. I got to hold it together. I can't do that. I have a little girl standing here staring at me knowing I'm not doing good right now. And I sort of said, "It's okay. Everything's fine." Now, that was a lie. I wasn't fine. I was just trying to demonstrate, listen, it's okay. It's okay. When your faith is the clearest demonstrated is when those trials hit. But there's another area I want to cover that is just as important. Don't miss this one. It's in your everyday life, in the mundane things that your faith is demonstrated. In everyday life. Don't put your faith, mothers, in a box. In other words, okay, it's Sunday morning. God is number one for the next 2 hours. Let's head to church. That's not unfeigned faith. That's faith without sincerity. It's hypocrisy. Don't put your faith in a box. Your children need to see that God is real in your life, in the everyday things. When you school them, you know, and when you school them, it begins to get challenging when you first have to go through algebra with your children. Then your faith comes out. Then your faith comes out. I remember I didn't do much of the schooling at all. That usually always is mom. I was having to do a little bit of it with Heather when, actually, I think Mary was in the hospital for a doctor's appointment or something like that. We were traveling in the motorhome. And I remember we were doing, was it reciprocals? And I was trying to teach Heather, and it just wasn't getting across. And I was growing frustrated. And so I grabbed her and I said, "You go like this with it. You flip it upside down. You're just going to flip those numbers like this. This is how this is going to work." And she got it. It worked. It worked. But when you school them, when you're helping them with everyday tasks, when you go to the store, when you're just heading out with them, let them see your faith. When you're trying to find that parking spot, let them see genuine faith. Now, when that manager at the store is a complete jerk to you, let him see genuine faith. You do understand, I know I say those things and put a smile on our face, but that when those things take place, those are opportunities God has given you to demonstrate sincere faith, a true walk with God. Let them see it. As you go about your everyday life, let them see it. Another thing that I think is important, moms, is let your children see you praying and reading the Bible. I'm not talking about for family devotions. They need to see it. This isn't about you doing public. Listen, trust me, this one thing I have very little patience for is people who do their devotions or any part of their walk with God for show. I struggle with that. I have very little patience when I'm dealing with that. And so this isn't that. This is needed to teach your children. They need to see you praying and reading. They need to see that. They need to be able to walk. If you pray in your bedroom, that's fine. When you go to pray, you leave that door open. So when your kids walk by, they see mom on her knees praying. And they see it every day. There's mom. She's praying. They need to see you in the Bible that they know. Listen, that's beginning to demonstrate a real faith before them. Let your children see it. The fact is, I've already mentioned, when there's a sincere walk with God, a sincere faith in the life of a person, it has great influence. Moms, you can make a difference in the lives of your children more than any other person, by your faith. There's something special about the love of a mother and a child, and we all know it. Use that influence for the Lord. I came across this as I was studying this week for this message. This was interesting. This is from an author in a book. I should have wrote down the name of the book. I did not. I was reading quotes out of the book. He said this, that out of the 69 kings of France, only 3 were really loved by their subjects. And these 3 were the only ones of the 69 kings that were reared by their mothers instead of tutors and guardians. I found that interesting. There's a great deal of influence that mothers provide. Your real walk with God, that unfeigned faith, will have great influence on your children spiritually. But know what that also means. So will a faith that is not sincere. That will also have influence on your children. Listen, don't use your faith in a way that will damage your children spiritually. Don't let faith just be, again, a portion of your life. You know, you're teaching, well, God deserves, you know, this spot in my life, but he's not to be my life. You know, so often in our culture today, it's one of the most damaging things we do. We teach our children by how we live our faith that God is just a portion, that he's important, but this is his place. He provides us morality. He keeps us out of hell. We're thankful for that. We're appreciative, and we're gonna pray before we eat. But they see he's really not about life. He simply has his place. That's not unfeigned faith. Don't use your faith as a show for others. Don't teach your children that. Don't use your faith as a means to get approval of men. Your kids will know it. They're going to know it's not real, but it's for a show and it's for attention. Because when the doors are closed and nobody's around, they see a different person. Use your faith to show life is about God. Number 2, unfeigned faith. And number 2, last point. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's go over 2 chapters. Here's what else Eunice did for Timothy, besides demonstrating an unfeigned faith. Paul brings it up here in chapter 3. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. So understand this. Contextually here, Paul is attributing to what led to Timothy's conversion when Eunice started teaching, which would be the Old Testament, of course, at this time, the Scriptures. The word for child there means infant. Infant. That's how it's used. It means there's different words for children. You just look to see which one's being used. The word used here means from infant. In other words, she started when he was a baby. Immediately, she started. It certainly wasn't his Greek dad that was teaching him the Bible. He wouldn't know it. It was mom. And because it's the word that's used, we're not talking about later on when he's in the synagogue. The word is the same word as infant. This is dealing with Eunice. That as soon as she had Timothy, she wanted to get God's word in him. Now understand this, you need both. There can be a danger at times with an unfeigned faith without the word of God. And there's a danger when the word of God's there and there's a not sincere faith. It's the mixture of both that is the key. That's the key. It's the walk and the talk. You have to have both in place. It's not one or the other. It's not that one's better than the other. You need both. You need the sincere walk, the sincere faith, as well as the talk, as well as the teaching, as well as the instruction. So she started when he was a baby. She wanted to get God's word in him. Listen, when you're teaching your children, teach them throughout the day. All right? One, understand their children. Understand their children. So don't teach them, try and teach them like they're an 18-year-old. Teach them at the age they're at. A 3-year-old's not going to want to sit down for an hour and have a lecture on Deuteronomy. All right? But nonetheless, there's principles from Deuteronomy that that 3-year-old needs. So teach it to them and how they'll understand. One of the best ways, I think family devotions are important for several reasons. One, you certainly can't teach family issues. There's so much you can deal with that. But I think what comes across stronger and better to your children is when you teach throughout the day. And I'm not talking about sit down here, it's time for the Bible lesson. I'm not. I'm saying when you're with your child, especially as they get older, you're out, teach them Bible principles then. When you're in the car driving. When you're out doing something. Bring up the Lord and principles that are needed. And listen, start this. You want to mix this. You want to mix this with the unfeigned faith. And it's very powerful when they go together. Incredibly. Here's why. Your children, especially in the world we live in right now, it's been true for all ages, but I just think as our culture is getting farther and farther and farther away from God, including our churches, it is so important that they know why you do what you do. That they know the Bible principle behind it. That it's not just because mom said. That they know why. Are there times when that should be enough? Yes, that's enough for obedience. That's not what I'm saying. But listen, you want to teach them the word of God. They want to know, mom, they want to know why you dress the way that you do. If not, do you know that before their friends, that's likely to be mocked? And they had better had a Bible principle behind it so they understand it. That was lacking, by the way, in the last 30, 40 years because the teaching on it was basically just hollering from the pulpit. And so as the culture changed, it was easy for that to go by the wayside because the persecution came in. Your children need to know why, biblically, why church is important. Go over chapters like Ephesians 4 with them. Explain why we have it. Teach them the Word of God. Make it practical using those Bible principles so they like, I get it. And then when they see that with the unfeigned faith, it's teaching them why having the right friends is important. Not just saying it, but why. Teach those Bible principles. And listen, start before they ever get there. Start before you have the battle. It's so much easier to be preventative than it is corrective. If you're going to wait till they're 16 to let them know that really dating should not occur until you are ready for marriage, you're too late. You're going to have a battle on your hands. But when you start with their 8 and 9 years old and let them know, listen, by the way, this ain't happening. Not until you're ready for marriage. That is for marriage. So when you're getting up there in those college years, yep, man, I'll be praying for you. It's an exciting time. But before then, oh no. I started that with my kids well before they ever got to that point in time for it. That, listen, that doesn't happen until you're ready for marriage. You're not playing with that. It's just going to hurt you. You don't need it. It's dangerous. There's temptations. There's all kinds of reasons why. And biblically, that is for marriage. So when you're trying to find that, when you're trying to find who it is you're going to marry, you need to be ready for marriage. And at 16, you're not. You're not. But if you wait till 16 to tell them that, you're in for a battle. You're in for a battle. Get the Bible in them. Teach them. Another thing, don't use. I've rarely seen this. I can only think of one time that's coming to mind right now, and that was back in the early 90s that I had witnessed this. But I'm sure it happens more than what I realize. Don't use the Bible as discipline. Don't. That's dangerous. Don't put in your child's heart that the Bible is something when I've done something. In other words, they do something wrong, go memorize Psalm chapter 1. I've seen that. It makes you cringe. Don't use the Bible as discipline. You discipline because of biblical biblical principles and you discipline the way the Bible directs, but you don't use this as the discipline. Don't do that to your children. You're teaching them to have a to want to avoid the Bible, not run to the Bible. Live it before them and get into the Word of God. They need both. When you mix an unfeigned faith, one that is sincere, and one where you begin teaching your children the Word of God, when those two things come together, when they see it lived out and they know why it's lived out, what they begin to see and they can understand even from a young age is they begin to understand that the pearl of great price is God. That He's what it's all about. And then as you see them get older, you begin to see that transfer take place in their life where it goes not just from mom and dad's God, but to their God. And that's the goal. The goal comes in as a parent when you see that take place. When you see your child, regardless of mom and dad now, they're serving God. One of the key players in that is the mother's role, an unfeigned faith. With heads bowed.